Hey everyone, so welcome back to another episode of Hello Spring. I am your host, Spring Sims, or Steven. But for today's episode, it's going to be an extra special one because I have brought on a guest this time around because I think it's definitely important to get another insight from another point of view. And so I've brought on Ocean Sims, who is a talented, down-to-earth content creator on YouTube who makes Sims content, but she's also a mother of three and a wife. And as a viewer, she has a very calming voice that draws you into her content, wanting to learn more about her Sims playthrough, what she does, how she creates them, but especially kind of relate to them as well. So she is definitely the real deal, and all of her links will be down below in the show notes below, so you can go check her out on YouTube and Twitter. But either way, let's go ahead and hop into the episode. Ocean, thank you so much for being on my podcast today. I'm so excited to be able to kind of just talk to you and interview you and just kind of play catch up on everything of what's been happening with you and The Sims and all that jazz.
Yes, I'm so excited.
I've been playing this podcast for so long that I feel like you have such knowledge and like insight of what it's like being a content creator, you know, a mom, a wife, making videos every single day or just doing day-to-day life. It's you just have a lot. I think people should hear about this, honestly.
Oh my God. I love that you focused on me being like a mom and a wife because that is like my first main priorities in life. So for you to like acknowledge that part just means a lot to me.
Yeah, definitely. Because when I started this like idea of the podcast and like and just in general, I didn't want it to be like a dedicated Sims podcast because once you box yourself in, you can't really get out and you feel stuck. And I think a lot of people should understand that we are real live human beings and we have lives. Yes. and we do different things. Yeah. No problem. The first thing I wanted to know is, can you tell the listeners a little bit about yourself?
Yeah. So my name is Ocean Sims, but that's not my, a lot of people call me Ocean, but my real name is Marissa, so not a lot of people know that. They just call me Ocean, but I'm cool with it, so y'all can keep calling me Ocean. And I've been creating since 2018, and yeah, I'm nervous.
Oh no, you're all good. You're all good.
It's so hard to talk about myself, because no one ever really asks about me. It's so hard. I'm a mom of three boys and a wife. I've been married since 2014. I did everything backwards, like, you know, had kids, then got married, then found my passion at a super, you know, late part in life. But yeah.
I mean, honestly, I like that. That's a story. You like, you have a story to you, and that's awesome.
Thank you.
Where did the like name Ocean Sims like become to be? Like, how did you decide to name it that?
Oh my goodness. So Jhené Aiko is my favorite like artist. And around like 2017, I went through this phase where I call it like my enlightening, like enlightenment type of phase, where I kind of found my truth. And so during that phase, I was like obsessed with the ocean because an ocean is free flowing. It has depth, but it also has like shallow waters and it just flows everywhere. And I just thought that was an analogy of who I was at that time. And so I had like a YouTube channel before where it was just about me and myself and my kids and stuff like that. And it was, I put the name Ocean Riz and I spelt it the way ocean's supposed to be spelt.
Yeah.
And the way that I kind of came up with ocean, the way it's spelt as you see it, is because I'm super obsessed with Japanese culture. So I was like, you know, I don't want my name to be just Ocean Sims. So I changed it. I changed the spelling, but it's still supposed to mean like ocean. So essentially Ocean Sims.
See, yeah. That's really cool. Cause when you said Japanese culture, I'm like, yeah, looking at her channel, Snow Escape, like she loves that vibe. She's here for it.
Yes. And when I like, you know how your name, you have like Spring Sims, you have Urban Sims. I just slapped Sims on the end of it and just, I followed you guys' lead. I was like, I'm just going to put Sims up there. Cause that's, yeah.
It was the norm.
Yes, it was. I was like, how can I make it so that you guys know that I play Sims? So I just slapped it up there with Ocean.
Oh, yeah. I was scrolling through the interwebs on Twitter because that's pretty much where everyone's at. And I was like, what was our first DM? Like, what was it Because I remember, like, you asked me about, like, streaming.
Streaming, yes.
With, like, YouTube or Twitch, and I just said Twitch because Twitch is easier, it's more relaxed and comfortable, whereas, like, with YouTube, it's, like, all your audience is there, and they all know you, and I feel like it's kind of overwhelming when everyone knows you on one platform, whereas, yeah. like, you go to another platform, some people might know you, but I feel like it's just more relaxed to me. No. I don't know.
That is a very, very true. I remember I asked you because I wanted to like dip and dabble into streaming. When I actually did a Twitch stream, it feels like Twitch is for the creator. I don't know how to describe it. You know what I mean? And so I am like, I am not at a streamer mindset right now because it gives me a little bit of anxiety. Like, how do you do it? I don't know how you do it.
Oh my gosh. It's a lot. Streaming is definitely a lot to handle. I do have anxiety even before I press the go live button every single time because I get so anxious of like what's going to happen.
Yeah.
Usually like there's stream technical issues in the midst of streaming and it's kind of crazy to kind of handle it on the fly.
Right. It's like it's live. Like my biggest fear was, I think when I did my Twitch stream, I think I said like one curse word and I don't usually like curse in my videos or anything like that. And it just slipped up. It was like one of the small ones, not anything crazy. And I was like, oh my God, this is live. I can't do this anymore. Like, I got so nervous, you know, like it's live. But I feel like once you get into it, like I love your streams. I love them. You don't seem anxious at all.
I played the extroverted card very well, I would say, on like the internet. But I'm a very introverted, anxious person. And I mean, I tell people that because I feel like a lot of people can relate to it. And nothing's picture perfect. Nothing's really, you know, all happy dory. Like there are days where I'm just like not feeling the best. And I want to share that with people because I think it's much easier than like showing one side of a person saying all things are good, nothing's really bad. And people just need to understand that, you know, streaming's not that easy. It's definitely a task that you have to handle, take it one step at a time and kind of play it by ear and kind of learn as you go.
That is so truthful that this feels like therapy. And I'm going to tell you why, because I feel like I built this image, right, where I am all about positivity. I am about those things and I'm generally a happy person, but I, like you said, we are human. And so I do have bad days. I do have those days. And because I am extroverted online, but actually introverted IRL, like in real life, I feel like I have to almost fake like that sadness because I feel like if I put out how I really feel or if I'm having an off day, it might not stand for what my brand is, which is positivity, you know, zen, calm, peace. And that is a very, very true. So to know that you feel the same way even when, because you're like really, really happy and you have such, you like your whole brand is just yellow, happy sunlight. I would never think you had an off day. But I know that you do. But yeah.
Yeah. It's like, I think I express how I feel on social media, like just Twitter. But not in my videos because I feel like I want to separate that because I want to make sure that when people come to my channel, it's like a place where they feel safe and, you know, happy or just want to have some type of like relaxation downtime where they don't have to stress the entire time. But Twitter is like a whole other story because that's a lot.
It is. That's where I feel like I am. And that's where I feel like on Twitter, it's a definitely different energy. I feel like when I go back on my YouTube channel and I look at my comments and everything, it's all positivity. It's all like good stuff. And on my Twitter is where I'm a little bit more expressive with like what's going on. So yeah, I understand like keeping the two separated. Yeah.
Yeah. And like with Twitter, they have that same old message is like, what's happening? And I think it kind of like inclines people to tell what's actually happening, which kind of a lot of people go on tangents, mainly me. I tend to tweet rant, not anymore since I deleted the app off of my phone.
Right. See, that's what I did too. And I need to be more mindful, I think, of how I word things. Because on Twitter, you only have a certain amount of characters to say how you feel. It can get really, you can pass your energy to people just by expressing like the kind of day you had. Like I could be having a great day and see that you had a terrible day. And then all of a sudden, I'm reminded that something terrible happened. And then that room, it's just weird. It's energy. And after, you know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
after deleting the app from my phone too, I was like, I felt lighter. We talked about that a little bit.
Yeah, a little bit. It's definitely like it feels much easier because I know that I tweeted like a long bunch of tweets about how I was feeling, and just like Twitter or just like social media in general is like very toxic because it's just that side of like the internet that you don't really understand until like you kind of go deeper into it, which you don't want to get into.
I know, it's like you don't even want to go there. God, I feel like it's hard. And I think like the state of the world right now is affecting it so much more, because when I first came to Twitter, even just social media in general, it was so fun. Now I find myself not wanting to share as much of myself online anymore, just because of the judgment that's out there, the way that it's so like people can quickly respond to you and have no remorse. Like, it's crazy to think. Like, I'm so glad our parents like imagine if our parents are raised during that time. Like,
oh my God. You know?
It's crazy. Like, I'm glad that we were young and we enjoyed our childhood, because a lot of like children and everything too are on social media now. It's just the way the world is. It's
yeah, scary. It is definitely scary. Because like when I used to go out and stuff, I'm like, why does a 5-year-old have an iPad? I don't understand. They don't need it.
Like at all. Like, that could have waited. It's so weird. It's like, that's the generation.
And it's like more of like norm. And I think nowadays it's understandable. Like, I can now understand why they need certain things, just like to calm down, settle, be more like productive, learning. There's apps out there. Like, it's so much more convenient and more helpful, I would say, on the learning side of things, the reason why they have these things. So
I agree.
I have to say, parents are the true MVPs. Like, you, your husband are doing great. I mean, since you don't share a lot, what you do share, I think that you are an amazing parent. Your husband's an amazing parent. We'll talk about this later, but I think that I think you and your husband had a YouTube channel before together.
We did. Yeah. And we actually have we had a channel before together, and now we have one where we're gaming together and just doing like, you know, silly stuff together. That's where, I don't know if you've seen it, but it's called the Go Arcade. And so that's where we're just kind of like playing games. I'm a totally different person. I realize when I'm filming with him, I am a completely different person. And I just want to let anyone know that checks out that YouTube that I'm still me, but just, you know, like different people bring out different sides of you. That's like my best friend. That's my best friend.
You two have great chemistry together. It's like when I see you two, I'm like, oh, they look so happy. Aww. And I feel so excited. Like, wait, they look so amazing and doing so great. But I remember that one video. I think it was Cyberpunk. You were out.
Oh my God. You were just out. I'm so embarrassing. At first I was like, I do not want you to post that. But then I thought, you know what? Like, I don't care. Like, at first I did not want him to post that, but I fell asleep. Oh my goodness.
It's all good. Human things. You fall asleep. Well, I did want to go back to the first impressions type of thing. Mm-hmm. I remember your Charlie Ann series.
Oh my God. I missed her. Wow. You remember?
Yeah. I did my research, and I adore that series. Like, it was really good.
That means so much, because that was actually like, I don't even know where I watch a lot of Netflix. And so I feel like I probably watched something, and then it made me inspired to create that LP. And at the time, I really didn't know what went into like content creation, all of that stuff. I didn't understand, like, when you create a story-based LP like that, it's hard work keeping up with it. So I hate that I let that go. But I love that. That was inspired. Around that time, I was watching you, Fantasia, a lot of like of those like storytelling type of simmers. And you bring up Charlie Ann, but I remember when I found you, you were playing like Jungle Adventures came out, and you had those two siblings. Like, they were
Twins. Yeah.
Like, I was inspired from all of that when I created Charlie Ann.
I don't even know what happened to that series. I started it and
never
I
never know what happened.
It's like I start something and I get so paranoid and all of my head, and then I stop things. I don't know why anymore. I think I just stopped kind of doing generic LPs where either it's like story-based or pack-based. I'm like, I need to have some type of idea in my head where I continue on doing it. Exactly. And I can enjoy it for a long time. But I don't know. I think all the series I've made, I've enjoyed every single last one of them. But it was just like something in that moment that just didn't feel right. But I think it was also on top of like me being in school, which just did not help.
Oh my God, yeah.
So I just stopped everything completely. It's been like a year and a half since I've done an actual Let's Play.
Oh my my goodness. Do you think you would ever do a Let's Play again? Like, do you think you would ever, like, even if it's not story-based, like something like how you did Not So Berry for a little bit, like, do you think you'd do a challenge or something?
Yeah, I think I'll, like, eventually come back and do, like, maybe challenges or something. I mean, I'm working on, like, a machinima right now for my Cats and Dogs LP that I had so many years ago. And I didn't stop it. I just ended it where it needed to end. And I want to bring them back because I'm kind of going back from, like, their past to their present of all the events that have happened since the ending of the first season. So.
Oh, my goodness. You said Cats and Dogs. You had a Cats and Dog LP, and you're going to bring it back?
Mm-hmm. Well, I'm not going to name it Cats and Dogs. It's
No.
It's called The Larson Life.
Oh, The Larsons.
Yeah.
Yes. Okay, I'm going to catch up.
Like, Nina Larson.
I'm just...
I think because, like, the thing is, when I did videos back in, like, the early days of YouTube, mm-hmm. like, back in, like, 2010, I made all these, like, different series. And then me and my friend, we had made a Sims 2 machinima called Remember Me. And it's not based off of the actual movie with Robert Pattinson, Remember Me. It's, like, more so following these two teenagers, Autumn and Tyler, which I still have the Sims for, which is very weird. It's been like, I don't know, like 9 years or so. But
wow.
And it follows along these two teenagers, high school drama. And at the time, YouTube and Sims was like all about teenage pregnancy, drama, storytelling. It was just insane.
It was.
And I think what me and my friend wanted to do is, like, we wanted to kind of do that, but didn't want to make it so focused on all of that. Because if you focus on one thing, it's, like, it's not really what you need. And Autumn, teenage pregnancy, she had two kids. We didn't end up finishing it just because time constraints and schedules and stuff, so we just didn't finish it. But we were writing a book. It's not even done.
Goodness. You guys, do you still talk to this friend? Like, do you guys ever bring that up? Like,
no.
Remember that one time?
It's been a while. I think 6 years since I've last talked to that person. Aww. I mean, she was older than I am. So, like, mm-hmm. she was in high school. I was, like, in junior high. So, it was, like, age difference, schedule difference, all that stuff. So, it didn't really, like, fall through in the end. But we were really good friends. But, you know. Hey, we let that chapter rest and, you know, just move on. But I still have that series near and dear to my heart. And I think that's what kind of made me who I am today as, like, a storyteller, being mm-hmm. able to share these stories that are, like, the norm, but not really the norm.
I love that. That's what I want to get back to, because I feel like because the actual platform on YouTube with Sims videos has changed, like, people are saying LPs, like, with storytelling aren't in anymore. Like, some people are saying that. And I want to get back to that, like, the creativity, like, actually sitting down, like, I don't know, really just taking the story level, like, the storytelling to the next level. Like, have you heard other people say that Sims 4 LPs are going out of style? Like,
yeah.
Ones, you know, and I want to just for the sake of the era, like, the era that we were
in. Yeah. Like, I feel like we just need to go back to that side, because there's been so many, like, things out there on YouTube with, like, Sims wise that have been so great. And when I hear, like, LPs are dying, like, no, they're not. But I'm like,
I know, I want to cry.
But it somewhat kind of is, but it's not. And back then, I think, like, 2015, 2016, there were so many LPs that were so story based, which is LPs in general. Like, I remember watching, like, Jen, all of, like, actually, literally her entire channel is just absolutely amazing.
Yes. Oh my God.
I remember, like, I think Corey's story, I forget what the name was, but I remember the Springstons. I remember the Foremans. I just remember all those, like,
Chloe's
families.
Chloe's story was
that's what.
So good. Yes, all of those were so good. I feel like when I found, like, storytelling simmers like Urban and then, like, you two and Fantasia, like, you guys actually cared about your Sims in a way that didn't make me feel crazy. I was like, wow, they really care about their Sims to really tell their story. That was, like, intense. Like, there's different types of storytelling. But when I found you guys, I was like, oh my gosh, like, they really care about their Sims and their lives and they're invested. I'm invested now.
I get so, like, teary-eyed because when they get older, I'm like, oh, they're going to be gone soon and I'm going to have to tell this story and I'm going to cry and... Oh, gosh, I'm just like, I take so many screenshots of my Sims because I don't want to forget those moments in their lives where they were first born or when they're taking their first, you know, steps into adulthood. I don't know.
I'm so guilty of that.
Yeah. I need to clean up my screenshot folder. It's a mess.
Oh, let's not talk about screen. I need to purge.
Yeah. But like when I play challenges, that's a whole other story. I do not care about them because it's just like, I do not have time to deal with their needs when I'm on a mission.
Didn't you do like the 300 baby challenge or something crazy like that on Twitch? Like 200 baby challenge?
Yeah, I couldn't handle that. I could not handle their needs. I was just mainly focused on having all the babies and doing that and just playing it as I go because children in The Sims, let alone toddlers, are just not ideal.
No, they are too much. They're too much.
Oh, but story based, I'm like, okay, I'm going to do this, I'm going to do that, and then all will be fine. That's like, I wish we had like a proper, like dedicated generations pack because that's what I personally need in all my storytelling gameplay I've done. Like, I need to like have preschool and you have like daycare and I need all that stuff.
That is literally what I feel like. I feel like I know there's some people that don't really need the family gameplay or don't see it as an asset, but I feel like that's what drew me to The Sims and like to begin with, even at a young age, that aspect of like the things you can do in your family and growing again, your generations of your family, you need those things. That is a goal in itself to, you know what I mean? Take care of your kids and actually feel like you're fulfilling a life with them. Like I played some Sims 3 Generations because I never experienced Generations at the time when it came out. Mm-hmm. And what I love was that, you know, there was a focus even on the adult Sims, like they could go through a midlife crisis.
Yeah.
Like that's a part of the, you know, I want to feel those, that I feel like that's what The Sims 4 is missing.
Mm-hmm.
Totally.
Like would you say like Generations is your favorite part of the Sims?
I would say, ooh, you mean like The Sims as a whole?
Well, like, kind of, yeah.
Okay, because if we're talking as a whole, okay, so because I played Generations literally like for the first time not too long ago, like probably like last year, no, 2019, because again, my laptop, when The Sims 3 came out, I couldn't really play it.
Oh, yeah, so, same.
Yeah, so I love it and I appreciate it when people talk about it. I like, hands down, give it, you know, my utmost respect. But Sims 2, specifically Sims 2 Seasons and Nightlife, ooh, that, those are my babies.
Mm. 100%. I agree.
Yes, those are my babies. Those are like untouchable.
Oh, 100%. Sims 2, hands down.
Yeah.
One of the best things I've ever played in my entire life. I go back to it all the time. I play in Pleasant View. But I think that's like also the other thing, what keeps me going, like going back to The Sims is, of course, like Sims 2 is like my OG, my nostalgia thing that I've always played and I'll go back to it no matter what. But I think it's like kind of what I lived and I played is why the reason why I keep going back to The Sims 4 and like still playing it and still like kind of giving it that sense of like character and personality that I used to play when I was younger, you know?
Yeah, I agree with that because like as much as I love The Sims 2, I think because The Sims 4 is what's presently out, I struggle just like I love The Sims 2 for what it is, but I would be lying if I said I didn't enjoy The Sims 4 because there are ways you can make it fun. Like it's not a Sims 2 and it's definitely not a Sims 3, but it's what it is. And so, yeah, like I like for instance, one day I went back and played Sims 2 and I forgot that we couldn't multitask in Sims 2.
Yeah, I forgot about that.
Yeah. And so, so I was like, you know, there are certain things in Sims 4 that I'm just used to now. So, but I always appreciate like the older games for what they were. I love them. But I, like you said, I try to put that same flair and personality in the present day Sims
4. It's like that going back to The Sims 2, I forget there's like small little details that I remember, but don't like remember because I was so young then, like, wait, we had all these little small little details that I did not know. Like, I remember there was like two interactions that I remember and I love is that when kids come home from school, from the school bus, they get off, look at the report card. And if a parent is home and they have a good report card, they'll jump up and down with excitement and go run to their parent to show them what they got. Or,
oh my God.
Or like when a parent comes home from work and a kid's at home, they'll literally stop what they're doing to go run to their parent and hug them. Like that.
I remember that. Yes.
It just melts my heart. I love those small little details that we've had. And I think what makes The Sims 4 The Sims 4 is that it's like a fresh new game. It's a new era. It's a new way of playing life. And you got to make it fun for you and kind of discover your own like happy medium.
Yeah, I think that's exactly what it is. I feel like The Sims 4 definitely gives the player, I think, the most control, but that's not necessarily always the best, because sometimes we want those autonomous things, like, you know, like the child jumping up and down to see the parent and, you know, giving their report card, just seeing that happen autonomously. It's like we were playing life, but it was also, it felt like they were really alive in that world. And when in Sims 2 and 3, it just felt like they were actually alive. And in Sims 4, it feels like we're essentially like almost like a god in a weird way. Like we control everything. It's like playing And so I do miss like that autonomous just reaction. And but like, so I understand what you mean when you say Sims 4 is just a new way of playing. That's just how the game is now.
And I mean, of course, like there's mods and stuff out there that kind of enhance it and make it, you know,
totally,
people say better or like, or just different or just not helpful. But I think with like mods, it's okay to have. But I think the idea is like sometimes you just don't need mods for anything to just have fun. Like for me, I've been trying to play a little bit vanilla because you've been playing vanilla. So I'm like, ooh, I want to try that.
I would love if you posted more of your vanilla gameplay. I feel like that would be interesting because I'm not going to lie, you are like, you know, custom content king. You are like very, I would love to see you just play with like no mods, no CC, no anything. I think that would be very interesting. I would literally just watch that for hours.
Yeah, because I definitely want to do it. I don't know if I need to go back to my old save because I have an old save. I do have an all vanilla save that I've been playing for, I would say about since Dine Out came out. And I've posted here and there of them. They're called De Lusso. That's their last name. They're an Italian / German family based in Windenburg. And I'm currently on generation 4 or 5, I think. And I haven't posted about them in so long just because there's so many packs coming out and so many different things happening. And then the show happened and I just couldn't really do it all. And like, I didn't lose interest in it. I just didn't really know how I'm going to expand onto it. Because I think at the time, the vampire pack came out. And I was, like, always thinking, how can I introduce this pack into my family gameplay? And I was like, wait, what if, like, back in, like, the 1600s, they were, you know, they had a vampire in the family. And kind of the generation of the vampire, like, blood didn't run to the family until the most recent generation. And so
that's your storytelling coming out. You're like improvising right there on the spot.
Because like, I mean, I have it. I have the sim already like as a vampire and like the family doesn't know. And I think when the child got older, they were trying to figure out, why does my child burn in the sun? Why does he not like the light? Why is he, you know, doing all these different things that his siblings don't do? And they had to go back to like their family books and look at, wait a minute, back in the 1600s, we had a vampire in the family. Like our great, 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 great grandfather was a vampire. But how did not pass down to like me or somebody else, but only this child? And so they like are kind of going back and like figuring out things, how they can make it better. So they're going to go talk to Vlad and kind of get some insight.
No way. That means that you would have to give Vlad a makeover.
Oh, yeah. Again, because.
Oh, my God. That's so interesting. And one thing that you said, like, you know, you had to kind of think how you could incorporate the Vampires pack at that time into, you know, you said Dine Out was kind of like where they originated from.
Yeah,
so it's funny because I feel that pressure too. Like when a pack comes out, if I'm enjoying a family, all of a sudden something comes out, you really feel the pressure to add the new pack and integrate it into your current household. Like, and that is very witty. That is hard to do.
It definitely is.
That is hard to do.
It's like, I'm like, I don't even know how I'm going to make this work because I'm not particularly like a big fan of supernatural, like anything in The Sims. Like The Sims 2 Vampires, not for me. Sims 3, it was okay. I enjoyed some of them. But Sims 4, I don't know. I just think, well, just in general, actually, I just don't like Supernatural at all because it's just not the norm and it's not my playing style per se.
Same. Like, I can be open to it and be like, okay, I'll check it out. But I think it's very evident what our playing style is. We like, you know, we just realism, you know, realistic.
Yeah. But I do have to say the Paranormal Stuff Pack, though. Whew,
did you like it?
I'm enjoying it. I really love it.
I like it too. I'm not gonna lie. I like speed ran through it because I just was so anxious to understand why there's gameplay in a stuff pack. That really boggled my mind. But when I actually played, I was like, okay, this is cool. The lights flickering, the effects, the sound effects were trippy.
Yeah. Definitely very creepy because people were hinting things and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. And I think I did like the whole, I think what sold me was like the backstory of like the whole idea of like the Godfrey and Bonehilda and Tempera. The backstory, what sold me the most, because I knew I wanted to learn more about them and like, why is Godfrey the way he is? Who's like this other Tempera person? Why is she here? Like, what's really going on? Like, I kind of go deeper into it when there's really like no deeper meaning to it.
But I love that because I feel like we need more of that. Like, for instance, Paranormal is obviously supernatural. The Strangerville game pack is supernatural as well. But because it has such like a storyline kind of already embedded, that type of gameplay really makes it so that we can take it that extra mile and like really like try to come up with the grand idea, the grand scheme of things. I really wish they would do that with more packs. Have a story.
Me too.
You know, even with expansions, if just a part of the pack always includes some type of background, some type of lore to it.
Oh yeah, I love definitely that. I would love some lore and like just something that will sustain me long enough where I can like go off onto my own and make it a thing.
Yeah, like build off of it.
Yeah. So the next question I wanted to ask, like, since you kind of said like why you started like making content like me, Jen, and like, you know, Fantasia and everybody making Sims content, like what really sold you like to make Sims content? Because making YouTube videos is like do literally anything and everything, but like what really, really made you want to make Sims content, like kind of stick with it?
I think what made me want to stick with it is I love the feeling that I got, one, from watching, you know, Simmers like you guys. And I love that, you know, by myself playing the game, I talk to myself anyway. Like, I'll be in my head and I'll be like, yep, you're terrible. You're cheating on your wife. Like, I'm talking out loud to myself anyway. So I'm like, wow, if I can do this with other people and they actually understand me. Because before, playing The Sims was like taboo. I never really talked about that, you know, with my friends in school. No one really did it. I only met one girl that actually played The Sims also. And we vibed about that. But it was like, I kind of felt embarrassed to say, oh yeah, I play Sims. Like, no one did that at the time. And so I just wanted to I wanted to make someone feel the way that I felt when I watched your videos. And you know, Jen and Fantasia, everyone, I wanted to make people feel like that. I wanted to share my stories and talk about it. I think the best part about creating content is talking about it with the people. You know, that's like my favorite part. Like when people get immersed in what I have going on and they give me suggestions, like you should make this person do this. It's really fun when you kind of can share your passion with people in that way. So that was like my main reason why I just wanted to go for it.
Yeah, that's good. Because I think that's the kind of the same way of me growing up, of like I wanted to be able to share like my passion for what I'm doing or like just like in general and see what people think. Because I think sharing is caring. And I think people can like kind of somewhat relate to it in a way of like we all play Sims or we kind of resonate with that one story that they told or that certain Sim looks like me or something like that. And I think that's kind of what makes The Sims The Sims, you know?
Yeah, I feel like that's like the best part about it too. Because even just watching other people, like I realized that I became more diverse the more I put myself out there. Like diversity is very important to me. But, you know, when you first start playing The Sims, you're only limited to a certain amount of ideas. But when you see other people exploring certain stories and certain storylines, it actually made me like less fearful to explore that too. So it's like, it's so interesting how that works. Like just by watching other people, you just suddenly feel inspired in your own game, you know?
And like getting inspiration or like just watching other people, it's definitely, it makes you like think a certain way. I'm like, wow, they told that story. I think I can also tell that story too, but in my own way.
That's exactly.
Yeah. And I think what also comes down to like making content, just like in general, or like just for The Sims, I think it's hard sometimes to kind of think of new ideas and make new content that's like, you know, fresh and new and exciting, and just trying to figure out how you're going to upload and how you're going to make these thumbnails and these Sims. And it's definitely a lot. Would you say like you have had struggles like since making YouTube videos, just like for Sims or just in general?
Oh, definitely. I feel like I've struggled with knowing where I fit in. What type of video, what type of creator am I? Am I someone that does mod reviews, or am I someone that does it all? Mod reviews and gameplay and creative sim videos and builds. You kind of feel like you have to dip and dabble into everything. And then at some point, which is where I am now, you realize like you're not for everybody. So if I'm not a builder, you know, I can explore with building, but I don't have to make that my channel just because it's in right now. So I kind of learned, I learned that way. Like, just be yourself, make the content you want to make. And then I also struggle with thumbnail styles. Like my thumbnail style would change probably almost every 3 months, almost to where, you know, it's like unrecognizable. You're like, oh, I did that thumbnail. That is not cute. But it's like you get better in time. And I think the best part about being a creator is you can keep experimenting. And over time, when you look back at like those, your archives of your videos and how you change, you're like, wow, like, being a creator is being open to evolution. Like you have to change. You have to change and accept that you have to change. And once I did that, like you have to be yourself, but you have to, in a way, help me explain this, Spring. You know, help me. I know what I'm trying to say, but like, I can't explain it.
It's like, in a way, you have to be like yourself, because when you're not yourself, you're like, your true light really doesn't shine through your videos, because no one wants to like be someone, like if you compare yourself to another person, or you compare yourself and you just want to be just like them exactly the way they are, you're not really showing like who you really are. And it's hard to kind of, it's just definitely hard to figure out how I'm how you're going to do things. Exactly. And I think once you kind of take a step back and you kind of realize the situation of what's going on with like your channel or just yourself, you think about, okay, I don't have to be like that person. I don't have to do make, you know, LP videos. Yes, I don't have to make mod reviews. Yeah, I can that's just exactly do what
Thank
I
you.
Want.
Thank you. Thank you. That's exactly what I'm saying.
And I think it kind of boils down to like imposter syndrome. Okay, I read this article. It's like talks about like why like imposter syndrome like affects successful people. And I read this thing, like this one quote from this one person. It's from like Mike Cannon Brooks, is a co-founder of a software company. And he said, imposter syndrome is feeling well out of your depth, yet already enriched in a situation, eternally feeling you're not skilled enough, experienced enough, or qualified enough to justify being there. But you are there, and you have to figure out, because we have to figure it out, because you can't get out. It's more of a sensation of getting away from something and the fear of being discovered.
Yeah. That definitely, I feel like we've all felt like that. Like at one point in time.
It's definitely hard.
Yeah, I totally feel that.
Because like in a way there's, we go through life of making content of, we start out like, you know, all good. And, you know, it's ourselves and we're doing our thing. But then I think the more that we grow as a person, the more like things kind of get into our head. And we're like, is this who I really am? Is this who I really want to be? Do I have to be like this certain person? But in reality, you really don't. But I think our brains are just like telling us something completely different. And like with the YouTube algorithm and like YouTube Studio tells you a whole other thing.
It makes you, and, like, I feel like it makes you feel like you have to be what's in. You have to do what's trending. You have to do, you have to be what's in, instead of just being like, you know, keeping your authentic self. I feel that on a whole nother level. I feel like I will never be able to fully escape imposter syndrome, because I feel like YouTube compares you to yourself. I mean, it's bad enough that you're comparing yourself to your peers, you know, but it compares you to yourself. It tells you that this video did great, but this one didn't. And you may have like really been proud of the video you just did and it just didn't do well. And that part is what gets me as a creator. I don't think I'll ever be able to really escape it for too long, feeling like I have to keep up or be trendy. But recently, though, I've just been kind of keeping my peace and just doing what I feel is best, because I feel like it's most fulfilling as a creator when you are proud of your work. Like the numbers matter, but at the same time, they can't matter all the time.
Yeah, that's very true. It's definitely hard because I deleted the YouTube Studio app off my phone and I hardly ever look at my analytics nowadays, because the one thing that's kind of hard to like figure out where you stand for your channel, like where is like your videos ranking? Like it literally ranks your videos from 1 mm-hmm. to 10 and all these videos are doing so great and you're doing awesome. Keep doing that same content. And it's like, no, I don't want to be boxed in into like that certain standard of content where I have to be keeping like making builds or, you know, just like all that stuff. Because when I look at mine, it's mainly just builds or like certain creative sims that have like a very unique idea of what I'm trying to do. And like there's one video that is still popular till this day that's on like number one hitting charts of my channel. It's a Sims 3 family build that I made back in 2017. And I'm thinking to myself, what made that build so good? I mean, Sims 3 probably and suburban.
Right.
And then also with like multiple bedrooms. But I think also what I kind of did, because I don't look back at the video because my voice was a whole other
it's
story.
It's the worst when you look back at, when you listen to old videos.
Oh my, it's kind of crazy, honestly, when you think about it. But I think like what kind of resonated to people, I would say, is that I'm assuming I told a story in that video of who I think would live there and how they're all connected in a way, mm-hmm. I think. I don't know. But it was definitely a weird time back then where it was just like, oh, just do this, do that. And it's like, I can't escape imposter syndrome mm-hmm. either, because it's like, how am I going to do all these things when one thing tells me one thing and another thing tells me right. another? Can I just be myself? And then like YouTube says no.
Exactly. It's like if you you know that there are people that are loyal and will watch you and love you regardless, but big major growth, sometimes you have to take yourself out of your element. And that's so uncomfortable because, yeah, it's like, why can't I just be yeah. myself? And it's crazy because it's almost like this is therapy talking to you about it, because this is not something we can just talk about with, you know, our friends or something like in real life.
Yeah.
You can't just be like, yeah, dad. Well, no, you can't talk to your parents. I do tell my parents some of this stuff. But yeah, it's crazy that you feel the same way, too. The fact that you are like a bigger creator and you are on Twitch as well and you don't even check your analytics, like I thought I was weird for doing that, but hearing that you also just try not to look at it either makes me feel like
yeah.
it actually makes me feel like I want to create right now. Like I actually feel empowered by it. I've heard that you feel the same way that I feel when I log into YouTube.
Yeah, because like I only look at it when it's like necessary, if like if I need to check for something, like for if I do a sponsorship or whatever, I like look into it and like, okay, it did this okay. And sometimes it kind of hurts a little bit when a video doesn't perform well, when I gave it my all. I want to do a certain thing. Like, it's hard to look at these numbers and it tells you like, oh, this video did okay. You shouldn't not do it anymore. Or like when a video performs so well, it shoots confetti, makes you excited. And like this video is doing really well for these certain mm-hmm. reasons. And it kind of makes you like, what really happened? Like what's going on here? Like, did notifications not go out? Is the content just boring? Is it too long, too short? Like, what is it? And it kind of makes you not want to make that content anymore. And I think that's why I think certain people said, like, LPs are just dying in general. Like, certain things are dying. Because, like, YouTube goes into waves of, like, back in, like, 2010 or whatever, when it was like prime, it was all like saturation, excitement, nice. Bubbly, kid-friendly, family-friendly, all that stuff. And then like the second wave happened where it was like gaming or trying to like to figure yourself out. Like we were all in like an experimental phase of that side of YouTube. And then another wave happened where it's just like a reoccurring thing of it's not saturation anymore. But I think it's like also with the fact that was like YouTube was... It's always going through like waves of figuring out who you are, what you want to do, and how you're going to get there. And I think now with YouTube and like all genres, it's like just be your real authentic self.
Exactly.
because that's what people
want.
Yeah,
I feel like you can't go wrong. If you are just absolutely back against the wall, you can't go wrong with being yourself. And that advice is honestly reflected in, I think, even my recent like content, for example. That's just how I've been moving because everything's evolved. The community, YouTube, and everything. And I know that as a mom and wife, I'm so busy with that that I can't even put all that energy into figuring out what can make me grow faster. So just by being myself, that's all I've been doing. And I still see growth. You know, I'm not shooting with growth, mm-hmm. but the fact that I see a little bit at a time still makes me feel good as a creator. And it makes me feel happy just mentally. So I 100% agree with that.
Yeah. And I was scrolling through Twitter and I found this tweet that you said like back in like on the 20th of February that my confidence as a creator comes from my new theory. I'm not for everyone, but people that need me will find me. And that's always be good vibes. And I like that. Like you just have a sense of relaxation and like depth to like your content, or just like just you in general. Like the way you tweet has like a sense of depth, like a truer meaning. It's like it makes you really
think. Thank you. Because I came across, because I realized, you know, sometimes I would try to be the more exuberant creator, like, hey guys, you know, blah, 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 blah. You know, I would try to do that. And I would try to experiment with being more enthusiastic, try to make my videos shorter, trying to fit in, again, putting myself in the box. But I realized, like, there are people out here that need that calm energy, people out here that just want to turn on a video and watch some relaxing gameplay. Like, just I need to stay true to who I am. And so, no, we may not be for everybody, but the people that need us will find us, because I just feel like that's how the universe works anyway. You know, oh, yeah. So what goes around comes around. So I just feel like if I put that energy out, then I'll get it back. And on my actual YouTube channel, it is such a good like environment. I don't experience any hate. I don't experience anything negative. I mean, it's almost like this euphoric area on the internet. Mm-hmm. I don't know if that's like the same for you on Twitch and YouTube, but it just feels like on that actual platform, it's just like the same people, like-minded people.
Yeah, I kind of get that. Cause like with Twitch, it's definitely a newfound platform for me. I'm still learning mm-hmm. as I go, but it's like the same people that show up. They're like, we're all like-minded people and we all come for like the same thing. Like whether it's like for The Sims or just for me. And mainly it's just like for me, which is so nice and reassuring to know that people come for me and not for a certain game I'm playing.
Yeah.
And it's like you don't want to be like box yourself in. But in hindsight, like it's hard because when you're a creator, but it's also simultaneously your business, you got to like still like make that same content more and more to like sustain That's yourself. True. But in reality, you don't want to like burn yourself out where you don't want to create it anymore.
Exactly. And that's like the important part. And that's why people like with you and a bunch of the other simmers that I watched around the time when I first found Sims YouTube, to see you guys, like you guys are considered like legends, like OGs to me in this like whole realm. So when I see you guys producing content and still being happy, like that's what keeps me moving. You know, seeing you not even change, but so much from when I first encountered, like when I first met you or spoke to you. Mm-hmm. But you know, you haven't really changed that much. And it's just like, you know, that shows me that I can be successful and I don't have to really change that much about myself. So why am I worried about it? You know, just do what I, you know,
yeah.
I mean, do what you have to do to kind of grow, experiment, but don't take you out of you.
Yeah. Like you don't have to change for a certain person or a certain type of like content or anything. Like just being yourself is like literally enough.
Totally. I still am like surprised that you still love the color yellow. Like I'm a Gemini, so my favorite color changes every like 6 months or so. Like I changed my mind. I've been loving blue for a while now, so yeah, people should be proud of me.
It's very calming.
But you have been loving yellow. Thank you. That's why I was like, you know what? No, blue's my favorite color. But you've been like a yellow lover since the day I even came across your YouTube.
Because, like, for me, I like the color blue and I love yellow. But I think with yellow, it resonates more with, like, my personality and, like, who I am. Because, like, I'm a Pisces. And I think with Pisces, they're, like, more on the creative side of things and, like, the experiment. And I don't know. I think it's just what I resonate more with.
You're definitely the sunflower of the Sims community. I'll tell you that. You are.
That's what a lot of people say. I'm like, oh, okay.
I did find it funny. Me and you both, like, we both do the whole peace sign thing. And so it's funny because I just feel like you're like the male version of me, but you love yellow and you storytell better than me. To me, you storytell better than me.
I don't know about that. I mean, your storytelling is great.
I don't know. I'll always hype you up though, because if it wasn't for you and other people, I really don't think I'd be, creating content.
Oh my! I'm glad you're making content, because I mean, it's something that I listen to in like the background, because you have a very soothing and calming voice that it's like I feel zen and I can just not feel stressed, but I can still like learn from like the stressful situations of your Sims or what's happening in that moment, but still like feel relaxed, you know?
I'm smiling super hard. Thank you.
You're welcome. I think there's like when people watch creators, like there's always like different things that stand out to them for that creator or for like the certain content that they're watching that they can kind of pinpoint the reason why they watch them and the reason why they kind of feel like they feel safe and relaxed or certain like type of emotion that they're feeling at that moment that they can definitely express to that said creator on social media or through the comments on YouTube or on Twitch, that it's definitely very nice and like reassuring to know that people feel a certain way.
Yeah. I think like that's what makes YouTube purposeful for me, because I want to feel like in some way, shape or form, I don't want to feel like I'm necessarily entertaining people all the time. I do want to feel like I'm making someone's day a little bit better or something just more purposeful than just being a content creator and, just entertaining. I don't want to just entertain. I want to vibe, So I love that. I love that you said that, because that's very true.
Yeah. I think the key thing is just vibing and just going about it with your day and just being yourself.
Yeah.
Well, the next question I have is, so this is about personal versus online life. It's like from the outside looking in, it looks like you have your life all together and you're managing things like perfectly fine with, being a mom and a wife and a content creator. I'm like, that's a full-time job. Being a mom and a wife is a full-time job, I would think.
It is.
Like, it's a lot. But like, how do you manage it so well? Like, just how you just manage it in general?
That's such a good question, because when I first started YouTube, I did not manage it well. Like, I did not manage it well. The way that I manage it well now is I just have to remember that at the very end of the day, because sometimes online life can consume our lives. Like how we've talked about before, mm-hmm. we feel like we have to check our social platforms. We feel like if we go too long without uploading, people are going to forget all about us. And, so it goes back to what we've been talking about this whole time. I have to have that confidence as a creator to just know why I'm doing it and still place my family first. Like, I have a designated time frame where I work on things and then I spend the rest of that time with my kids, because at the very end of the day, as much as I love my online presence and I love my community, my kids and my actual family and personal life come first. And sometimes I think even as creators, I think we forget to even go outside and get air sometimes. Do you do that? Like, you ever have a period of time where you just realize like you're really consumed? Like,
100% every single day.
Gosh, it's terrible.
Because I'm like, how do you I forget, I'm like, wait, I need to go outside. I haven't seen the sun in like 5 days.
Exactly.
So it's like, I need to step away from the computer and just like talk to my family and like talk to my friends, like whether I'm like, when it was safe going out and about, or just like just talking to them on like Discord or whatever. Cause we sometimes forget that we don't always have to be like on. We have personalized and we have to, maintain the relationship that we have.
That's the word, like maintaining. Like, there was a period of time, recently, just my experience, like I realized that my online presence was becoming too much. Like, I needed to step away. And at that point, and again, everything's assigned to me. And so, I had people in my life that I hadn't spoke to in like a couple of days, all hit me up like yesterday. They text me, they called me, and it was so weird and random. And it was almost like the universe was just like, you have people that love you outside of all this. Don't forget about them, because I'm the only content creator in my family. Me and my husband, we're like the only content creators in our families. So no one understands what we're doing, So, but like you said, you have to maintain what's outside of that.
Yeah, because when people don't understand, it gets kind of confusing and it feels like you're neglecting them. But in reality, you're not really neglecting. You just, I don't know. It's definitely hard to kind of explain to certain people who somewhat don't understand or like kind of understand, but doesn't really want to really like understand
exactly.
It, you know?
That's the thing. It's like people think you're neglecting, but it's like, gosh, I'm not neglecting you. But by the time I'm done with this video, I've used up all my personality and my voice that I have no energy. And it's like out of sight, out of mind.
Yeah. And like, for me, I'm the only like content creator in my family as well. Like my mom makes content and stuff, but like, I'm like the person who's like really like making all this content on almost every single platform. And my family doesn't really know what I really do or like how I do things. Like they don't understand sometimes, but I have to explain to them. And I explain it to them on like a business side of things, because I think that's what they kind of resonate more to, of like what they've grown up to and kind of learned as they went. And I think when you kind of talk to them on like on a business standpoint, it's like, okay, it makes sense. I make money from YouTube, I make money from Twitch, I make money from the internet. It's all pretty much the same thing, but in like a different like way of living.
Yeah, that's so true, because I think people would see, oh, he's playing video games and making money off of it, that this is a dream job. But I realized very quickly that this is work. Like no matter how you look at it, it's fun. Yes, it has its perks. We're, you know, grateful, but it is work. I mean, it's work.
It's definitely a lot of work. It's not easy. And I think what people need to know is that if they want to get into like this space of the internet, whether it's like gaming or anything, is that don't have the mindset of thinking, oh, I'll just post a video, get a million views, all this money will come through, I'll get all these sponsorships. Mm-hmm. No. You have to work for it. It's like interacting with people. You know, you got to definitely be on social media, not all the time, but, you know, make sure you're like somewhere on social, like with a presence and being known and like collaborating and just like kind of stepping out of your comfort zone to make yourself grow and successful. And I think that's why for me, where I can't put all my eggs in one basket for YouTube, where I could expand myself out into other platforms like Twitch or TikTok or Instagram or having a podcast. Like there's so many different things that people can do to make themselves successful in a way that makes them feel happy or where they can find the most joy.
This is such a good conversation to have. I feel like it's so relevant to everyone, even if you aren't a content creator and you just want to become a content creator. Like this conversation is so necessary. I love it. That's
yeah.
So true.
me too. I think that's why I started this, just because I think, one, I haven't seen my friends or talked to my friends in a very long time. But also, I think it's something that people don't really get to like see or hear, because being a content creator or just being a person in general, you only technically see like that one side of that person. Like you see your best friend, you've been best friends for like so many years that you only see one side of them sometimes, where they don't really share all of their life, what's going on. And I think when you kind of talk about it, you kind of get more of an understanding, or like some way you can like resonate to it, or you can like understand why they don't share things or why they do a certain thing this way and not that way. And I think with this podcast, it's like where people can listen to it, whether, you know, they've watched you or somebody else, that they can understand why your content's this way or you show yourself in this type of light.
Yeah,
you know?
I love that. And I think like, I don't know, I think there is like a kind of comfort just hearing like a more like raw version of what we try to explain in like a 7-sentence tweet. You know, we could say like, gosh, like this YouTube analytics are this way, but we're explaining why we feel that way. And it's just like interesting. Yeah. I agree. Like I feel, like I said, like even walking away from the conversation, I feel like as a creator, I feel like I want to create. I feel like I want to like record a video right now and whatever I want. You know what I mean? Like it's nice to talk to your peers. It's nice.
Yeah. Because like we all can relate to it because we do the same thing. And it's like very reassuring to know that people feel the same way or like somewhat similar to it, that it's like, oh, it all makes sense now. I don't have to feel this way.
That's my epiphany. I'm like, oh, wow. So I'm like stressed. Like, I mean, I've had like really stressful times like where you just feel so low. And then you're like, you know what? You got to pick myself back up, because I have people watching me. I have a job to do. I have content to create. So I can't really sulk. Can't really feel bad for myself, you know, and it's it is, I never thought to really even just talk about this in depth like this with my peers. So it's kind of cool to talk about it with you.
Yeah, same. I feel more like relaxed. And I think these are like therapy sessions. Like I remember I made a tweet saying like doing this podcast feels like I should be a therapist or something. Because
yes, Dr. Spring like, Sims.
That'll be wild. I'd rather get the title and not do all the schooling.
No, we don't want to put you through school again. You work too hard. Mm-mm.
6 years of school. Oh, no. I did it.
That's a full-time job in itself, too. School is a job.
It was. I even explained that in the second episode, I think. I don't know. Just because I think a lot of people don't understand. Like, I've said it in videos, but I think not everyone watches the full length of videos. That I think with a podcast is easier to listen to and kind of fully understand like how a person's feeling and can kind of like, again, resonate with it.
I feel like that too. And I feel like when you can actually hear, you can hear the person's voice, you obviously have more time to say how you feel and it resonates better than in a little short tweet or something like that, or in a video where, like you said, they may not even go to the end of the video where you're like spilling out your personal life. So this is such a good idea. And I just love that you finally like got around to starting your podcast.
Yeah, me too. Like, would you like ever continue your podcast if you had a chance?
To be honest, when you sent me the art for the podcast and all of a sudden, that's when that same question popped in my mind. Like, I am definitely open to it when I have the time. And I want to plan it, like, as professionally as you did. Like, before, I was just like, yeah, I'll do a podcast. I'll make a topic, and I'll just do a video or whatever, you know. But, like, to see how serious you've taken it, it's on, like, Apple, Spotify, too, I think.
Yeah, I made sure it was literally everywhere.
No, that's good.
Like, because I think everyone, like, has their own, like, personal platform that they listen to or read anything. And I'm like, I want to make it widely known and like widely spread as much as possible. I don't care what I have to go through. I will make the links just to do it. Like the fact that it's on Audible of all places is that's wild.
That's why I was like, wow. Like when you asked me that, I'm like, you know, you doing this inspired me to say, you know, if this is something I want to do, I want to do it the right way. You know, I want to do it and really put effort into it and take it where you've taken it. Like, it's so professional. It's so exciting. Like, I can't wait to watch, you know, or listen to the episodes. And honestly, I feel like it's so relaxing because you're not watching something, you're just listening to it. So I can like fold clothes while I listen to you talk about whatever, you know?
Yeah.
So I'm excited.
I'm excited too. Like, I thought of this idea like 2 years ago and I was like, I'm just going to do a podcast, you know, just like what you said, like just record it and just like have a topic. And I think at that time I was like, I don't really know. And I was like kind of not really excited for it at first, but I was excited. And I've always had like wanting to launch it on my birthday every year. And I was like, okay, I'm going to do it this way and I'm going to do it that way. But then things came up, like then the show came up and then other YouTube things came up and I was just like too overwhelmed that I just couldn't do it. And I think now was like the time.
It was.
Yeah, like I'm 25 and it's now like my 5-year type of plan where I can see myself doing this probably longer than 5 years, but it's like something that I wanted to have a concrete thing that I can hold myself accountable to.
Exactly. And it's so cool that you say that, like, you know, like with your 5-year plan and that you just felt like the timing was right. Like, I feel like, you know, when you rush things or try to get things done, sometimes the result isn't even what you envision. So like, just from what you have alone just right now, it's like the timing is perfect. 2020 was horrible. 2021, you're starting a Hello Spring podcast and it's almost just like a breath of fresh air. So I feel like the timing is like divine.
Yeah, it definitely was. Like, this is a breath of fresh air. And like, in a way, it's going to sound bad, but in a way, I'm kind of glad that we were in quarantine in a way.
Oh, I know exactly what you mean.
For me, because it feels good to know that I think we all, like everyone in general, just need like a way to like just step back.
Yes.
Like it's kind of bad that some people like lost their job and stuff like that and things happen. Mm-hmm. But I think people needed that break of like nothingness, not holding them like accountable to like a job or like a certain project. And I think it gave us that time to just realize what we wanted to do, how we wanted to do things. And so many people started a podcast, launched a business, or moved, or had a baby, or like got married. Like there's so many great accomplishments that people have done since in quarantine. And I think we've learned so much of what we can do with restrictions.
No, that is so true. Because as a wife and mom, you know, and content creator, yeah. I realized how much, again, everything that we talked about was put into perspective, and I gained clarity from being in quarantine. So there were pros, like, mm-hmm. You know, my husband works from home now, which is like, you know, a blessing in itself. And I feel like I'm more together with my family. And I think that's why I even still create restrictions on how often I upload on YouTube and how often I'm in that world and realm because of the state of the world. So yeah, like things have happened that aren't really that fair. But then there's, like you said, with restrictions and stuff, it made you focus. It made you think. Like it made you yeah. have that solitude, that isolation made you probably made some people sink or swim. And at the end of the day, everyone, you know, of course, will end up swimming and floating to the top. But it definitely put my life in perspective.
Oh, yeah, definitely. Because like, honestly, I'm kind of glad that I graduated before things got a little bit mm-hmm. worse. And I was like thinking to myself, like, oh my goodness. Like thinking back to like kids, like I used to work for AmeriCorps mm-hmm. and my mom worked for AmeriCorps too. And she had to like tutor these kids virtually. And I'm like, what is going on? Like I forgot how was kids like your kids like going to school like part-time, like or like in person part-time and then online the other time, or like all online. I feel like it's so hard kind of like help them.
It is so See, because I don't really share like my private life with my kids and stuff online, but sometimes I wish people could understand, like I am juggling so many titles at once. Like it is so hard because I had to be a teacher like last March. Like all of a sudden I'm a teacher now because I have to, you know, they can't learn as much doing things virtually. That's not how anyone grew up. You know, this is a first for them too. So I love that you put that empathy with like, you know, the kids, because like this is not something that they're used to either. And so it definitely put pressure on me. It's hard for them. It's so sad.
It is. I feel so bad for them because like I always say, kids are the future. They're here to learn and grow and try new things and experiment with things that they haven't done before. And I think what came easy to them nowadays is like a new wave of technology that they're already, like when they're first born, they're already like, oh, I understand technology, right? Easy peasy, lemon squeezy. Exactly. And I think what was hard for them is that it was different and they were used to like seeing people, but then like they're seeing them through a screen, but all the time.
And that's hard. I actually limit my kids' screen time because being that like I'm a gamer, like not gonna lie, my kids are like spoiled with games because their dad gets them all the games they want and everything. And so I have to like, we have to limit their screen time because, you know, we're like the cool parents that are like, oh gosh, like, you know, I know you had virtual learning today, but yeah, you can play your game, you know, right after school. We have to restrict them. Like that's a lot of screen time, virtual learning. And you know, they want to watch TV. They want to play games. They want to do that. I have to restrict all that.
Yeah, I think the key thing is definitely restricting yourself with like screens or anything, because I think the more you're on something, the less time you have for another thing. And I think because technology is weird, technology is crazy, and we're on it all the time. And I think we have to definitely like 100% limit yourself, like you said. And I have a limiter on my phone kind of shuts down all the apps to like go off or like have like limited features where I can't use them at a certain time. And it feels so good.
It feels so good. I turn on like on my iPhone, like it'll tell me how much screen time I had like each week, like at the end of each week. And if I see it like risen or whatever, for whatever reason, I'm like, oh my gosh, yeah, I need to put my phone down during this time of day. Like I do that too. I thought that I was, see, it's so funny because I always feel so like cheesy. I just feel like so like cheesy doing stuff like that, like restricting myself. So I don't really talk about it, but you do it too. So it's kind of like, it's like, yay, I'm not alone again. Yeah, I have to do that too. Cause I'm not someone that can remember, like if I tell myself, don't check your phone, I'm going to end up probably doing it out of habitual behavior. So,
100%.
Yeah, like restrictions like, are so important.
I checked my phone and I looked at what my percentage was, like my time. Mm-hmm. It was like on an average of like 3 hours and 2 minutes. Like, that's absolutely insane. That's like throughout the week.
Yeah.
On average.
That is a lot.
But the thing is, I checked each day, and there was like one specific day that I had throughout that week on Twitter, 6 hours throughout the day.
Oh my God.
That's absolutely insane. I literally do not know what happened, but since deleting the app off my phone and certain apps off my phone, it's become a lot better.
I'm sure.
So the time should be lower.
Yeah, you know, like, oh my God, it's crazy because I guess in that sense, I'm kind of glad I have kids because it kind of like automatically keeps me off the phone at certain times of days. Because it used to be really bad. Like I can't talk. I don't judge you because I used to be on my phone a lot too.
I got my first phone. I was in sixth grade, and that's when the addiction started.
My addiction started when I got my BlackBerry. At the time, like, BlackBerries were like in, and I could not stop messaging people. I was more so like a communicator than like a smartphone user. Like, I really loved texting for some reason. I don't know why.
Oh, I used to text all the time. Now I don't do it anymore.
I know. I realize I don't really like to text, and sometimes I don't even like to call people. It's bad.
Oh man, it's like the life is going through waves. Like, we start one thing, and then we go through another wave, and then another wave. It's like, what is life right now?
Look, when we
it's so crazy.
When we get off this call, we need to make a pact to make sure we check on our loved ones and maintain our personal life.
Oh, even more. 100% starting a pack right now. The other question is, how do you feel about the Sims community?
This could literally be a podcast in it. This could literally be an episode in itself. That question alone. No, but I think the Sims community, my honest opinion, I think the Sims community is full of passionate, overly passionate people. It's beautiful but also destructive in itself.
It's the passion.
It's so hard to explain. There's different sides to the Sims community. So you have, first and foremost, everyone in the community is passionate, but you have two sides. And I think what side you're on says how that experience in the community will be for you. And so there are, you know, different sections of the community that you don't fit in and will never fit in, and you don't vibe with them. And it's just the reality of it. But then for the majority, like, the other side of the Sims community, it's again full of, at the very end of the day, everyone's passionate about this game for different reasons. Sometimes people take their passion, you know, to be constructive. Others are just really angry, and rightfully so. It's like, I understand exactly how they feel, you know, but I keep to a certain part of it because I know where I stand. So it's just the experience you make it. Whoever, you know, the Sims community, again, as a whole, it's just this, it's full of passionate, fiery beings in different ways, shapes, or forms. You have your, you know, your quiet people. You have people that only talk about Sims. You have people that are fighting big issues and being the voice even for the community. It's just a passionate, extremely passionate community, you know?
It is. It definitely is very passionate. We're 21 years strong. We're very passionate about literally everything.
Yes, we are. 21 years strong. We are passionate. I mean, I see, even when I love, like, seeing the constructive criticism, because there are things that people will point out that I'd never realized or felt like I was missing. And then they say something and I'm like, oh, wow, that is true. But how we all use our platform, I feel like doesn't define the Sims community. Like, the Sims community it's an awesome community, but the way that some people use their social platform may not be so pleasant to me all the time.
And I think that's why I definitely kind of delete things off of my phone for those certain reasons.
Yeah, you have to protect your peace. But, you have to.
Yeah, definitely. It's like something that we definitely, people need to do more often, I would say, because, like, the more you kind of, again, restrict yourself, the better.
Yeah, it's crazy because it wasn't even always like that. I don't know if it's because we are in the state of the world that it makes people think more about the issues that, you know, have always mattered to them, but it fires up the mass, like, the masses. It, like, fires up everyone. Like, I could not care that we don't have cars and someone bring it up and suddenly I'm like, God, we really do need cars. You know, it's so weird.
Yeah.
It's just energy. It's a bunch of energy.
Energy that sometimes we need and don't need at the same time.
You know.
Yeah, but again, it like it depends on like what side you stand on and all that stuff. But it truly like makes you think.
Yeah, and that's why I think it's cool. Like for instance, someone like you, you maintain your who you are and like you know your brand and what you stand for. You know, you don't get too caught up in your surroundings. And I think because I am like a sponge, I'm very palatable. Like some, I feel like I get caught up sometimes in things that I don't even really need to say anything on. You know, like some, it's just energy. Mm-hmm. And it's because, again, I am a very like, I'm a sponge. I absorb everything. It's so bad.
I used to be like that, but now I'm like, okay, what's next?
See, that's what I need.
I think over time, I've just learned what to like, I mean, like I care about a lot of things, but I think I've learned to like care about things that are more important to me and what I think is something that I feel like I need to share to people.
Right.
I think it's kind of boils down to just like in general, like, of like how I grew up and like also just like in making videos for like nearly a decade that I think it's, I've learned to do certain things a different way than like certain way that people expect me to say. Well, the last question before the rapid fire questions. What are your tips for beginners wanting to get into creating content on YouTube? Like it could be Sims or it could just be just in general.
I think we spoke about all that. Like we gave so much good advice, but truthfully, no, I'm just kidding. We being yourself, really starting off in creating because you want to and because you're passionate about what you're creating. It can't be for gain. You know, I did not come into YouTube thinking like you said, like, oh, I'm gonna make money, I'm gonna get this and that. When you do that, your results kind of show that. What I mean? You have to be passionate. You have to really love what you're doing because it's gonna make you consistent. If you enjoy it, you'll be consistent. And consistency is a huge part of your growth. And then being yourself, whatever that is, and stand in your truth. Like Urban Sims, I was like, me and her were always talking because I was so confused with YouTube. I was so like, I bothered her with all my insecurities. Shout out to you, Jen, if you ever listen to this. But, you know, have some type of confidant, you know, reach out to your peers. So that's why I bring her up, you know, reach out to your peers. When I reached out to you, I was like, you know, hey, I was going off on a whim. I didn't know if you were going to answer or not, but I was like, hey, I need some streaming help and just try. Cause you might come across someone that is actually like, hey, let me give this person a chance, you know, and let me help them. So I'm always grateful for that. So yeah, like network, become acquainted with the people that you're working around essentially. And
yeah,
I think that's like my two best, that's like my best advice, I think. And then being yourself, like what makes you different? When I was like creating things, I didn't really want to be the same as everyone else because I didn't want to copy anyone and I wanted to be myself. So when you do something that's really different, you know, just how can you inspire other people? Like what can you bring to YouTube that we haven't seen already?
Right. Exactly. Like just again, what makes you different? Yeah. Definitely like just like do things that what you enjoy making, what you think what stand you out from the crowd that you would make people excited to watch your videos or just literally anything. Like just make content for the sake of not just for content, but make content for you and for yourself. And people will eventually resonate with that because there's been videos that I've seen from people that I didn't even know because it standed out to me, but also the YouTube algorithm picked it up and like, oh, I see all these things, but then I hop on Twitter and I see all these amazing creators and I'm like, they're doing so well. Why don't people watch them more? Mm-hmm. But I think the key thing is like definitely like being yourself is like being yourself, being consistent and like show your true light that will stand you out from the crowd.
Yeah. And I definitely believe like I'm a firm believer in like whatever you put out in the universe, you will most definitely receive it back in some way, shape or form. So yeah, like don't give up. Just keep doing all the things that we just listed. And I feel like those are like the keys to success. I feel like when you don't even expect success, you like get it. It's weird.
Yeah, it's definitely very weird. I don't understand it. I'm just like going with the flow at this point of like making videos. I'm like, I'm just going to go as I please and see what happens and hope for the best.
Yeah, you know, and then when you see like a little bit of growth and that's where the business mindset comes in. You're like, all right, how can I take it to the next level? And always do the same things that we just mentioned like not too long ago. So, yeah.
Well, I have some rapid fire questions. This first one might not be rapid fire, but I always ask this for my guests. Mm-hmm. What's the best life advice you've gotten?
Oh my goodness. I have gotten a lot of life advice, especially from my dad. I have a lot of life advice. If we ever have another episode on this podcast, you have to ask me that question again because I might say something different. But off the top of my head right now, the only thing I can think of is when my dad told me a long time ago, choose your friends. Don't let your friends choose you. And so it's almost like watch the company you keep. Who you're around also represent you, you know? Choose who you're around. Like, don't let people choose you, because when I was in high school, I was so easy influenced. And, you know, you don't want to, that goes back to creating, you know what I mean? Choose who you network with. Choose who you're friends with. You know, if you don't hang out in a bad crowd kind of thing, you know, like, choose.
Yeah.
Because who you're around, like, you are who you are around sometimes. People think that if you're a part of this one group that you stand, you have the same beliefs that they have. And that may not be the case. So choose your friends. Don't let them choose you. Don't let them kind of like identify you and what you do. Choose the company that you keep. That's just off the top of my head, though.
That's some really good life advice. Like, honestly, very good. Oh, man. I can see where you kind of get the inspiration, the depth, the relaxation, zen, like, knowledgeable side. That's what I think.
Yeah. And then there's one more. Hold on, wait. In the Rocky movie, Rocky Balboa, he says, it's not about how many times you get knocked down. It's about how many times you get back up. I use that. Till this day.
Oh, that's a good one. I love Rocky.
You do?
Yeah.
Oh my goodness.
I gotta go back and watch like the movies and stuff and everything.
The fact that you love this movie, when I tell people that's my favorite movie, they're like, oh, okay, Rocky, sure. And you love that? What?
Like it has like some, like, I always look at movies as like a deeper, like they have like a deeper meaning to it. Like, it's like the general story, but I feel like it's just more to it that I wanna definitely learn more about. So, like, it definitely, like, resonates with me, too.
Nice. See? This is why we're friends.
Exactly. What's your favorite music group at this moment?
Oh, my God. My favorite music group?
Yeah, or, like, genre.
Okay, let's do genre, because if I think of music group, I'm going all the way back to, like, NSYNC, Backstreet Boys, Jagged Edge.
Oh,
I'm going all
gosh.
The way back, Destiny's Child. So, I don't know, because I don't listen to, like, music groups. But I think genre-wise, I love lo-fi music.
Oh my gosh, yes. Yeah. Same.
Yeah, like that's something I listen to every day, cooking, cleaning, laundry, driving my kids to school while I'm editing videos. That's my genre.
Oh, yes. Do you listen to Chill Cow on
YouTube? Oh my God, yes. And their aesthetic is so beautiful. Like, sometimes I choose what I want to listen to based on the thumbnail.
Oh, same. Yeah. It's so relaxing. Like, I could sleep to this day, noon, and
me
night.
Too.
Oh, man. I love Chill Cow.
I do, too.
Anyway, when you're not working, how do you like to spend your time?
When I'm not working, me and my kids, we like to play games like Uno. Sometimes we watch movies together. Me and my hubby, we're watching Netflix. I am on Pinterest because I'm someone that likes to like save a bunch of recipes that I'll probably never make, but I like to look at them for reference and save them. And yeah, I just kind of like chill to myself. Sometimes I try to not even be on the screen. Like, I don't know. I just do mom stuff. To be honest with you, in short, I do mom stuff. Laundry, hanging out with my kids, my husband. That's it. I'm a really boring life.
So do I. But no, that's a really, I would say that's a great life.
It is.
Kind of wind down and hang out with your family, because family means everything to me. I am a family person. I love hanging out with my parents a lot, watching movies.
I can tell.
Just chilling out.
When you dropped that video for we both had the Black History Month video opportunity that we did. And when I watched yours, it was inspired by your own family. And you talking about your parents, it's so fitting. Like, just knowing that those are the people, I guess, essentially, that in theory raised you. I love that. Like, I love that you had that close family. Like, I love that that's your dynamic. Like, you love hanging out with your parents, because I love hanging out with my dad.
Yeah, because it's fun. Like, me and my dad play video games together. And, like, me and my mom, we just talk a lot. And we just do everything. Basically, I've been by her hip literally all my life. Mm-hmm. And so it's like, we go to places, we do things together, and, like, all of us together, we all sit down at the couch and watch movies or TV shows. Like, right now, we are just, like, every single Friday, we know it's WandaVision. So.
You know it's WandaVision. Wait, so...
So we're just currently watching...
Are you like an only child? Like, do you have any siblings or no?
I have... Let's see. I have four other siblings. I have four older brothers. Two on my mom's side and two on my dad's side. But like the thing is, I only met one of them. Like I did not grow up with them.
I see.
So like we're all like I would say like a blended family in a way. And I've only met one of my brothers in person. Actually, no, two of my brothers in person. And the other two I have not met at all. I know what they look like. I know what they sound like, but I haven't really like met them. But one day, when the world's safe, I'll be able to meet them one day. Oh. But for the most part, it was great because, like, I was, like, I literally was, like, it's the time, like, I was going to invite them all. They all said yes to my graduation. But then it just, COVID happened and it was just weird. So,
it didn't
go as planned. But
that is so,
for the most part, it's been pretty good.
See, because I figured, that's, first of all, it's crazy, all the boys in your family, because I have three boys. I don't even know if I ever told you that. I have three boys. So it's like, I'm overruled here. So it's so funny that you just have brothers and I have half siblings too. So that's kind of interesting. I never knew that about you. I thought you were an only child.
Yeah. I don't really share that part of my life anyway, just because like, you know,
same.
People like to express their opinion about stuff and about like just like in general, like to my mom's side, to my dad's side. So it's like people think things
they
and
do.
All that stuff. And like, cause I don't want my family to be torn up or anything or just have people coming down my
Me
throat,
neither.
Especially on Facebook.
Exactly. Yeah. We don't want that. That's why when you shared that with me, I'm like, oh my God, I have half siblings too. You know, obviously I'm like, you know, they're my siblings, but I have half siblings too. Like, so essentially I grew up in the same environment where I kind of felt like the only child because I wasn't really. Like it's the same thing. It's the same thing.
Yeah. I told people I was the only child just because, you know, it was
easier.
Yeah,
it's complicated.
But also... Because, like, the thing is, like, I've had my mom and my dad by my side all my life. Never, like, moved away besides, like, going to college for, like, that 1 year and then came back. But, like, I've always been by their side. They've always had me. And I think sometimes it's kind of hard, but I also, like, it's like that only child syndrome, even though I wasn't an only child.
Same. I have only child syndrome, too.
Oh, man. Yes. And I was like, I feel so alone. My parents are never home. Yeah. But it was weird.
See, that's a topic for another. That is a topic. That's cool. Yeah.
Yeah. We got to definitely talk about this in another episode,
right?
For
There's
sure.
There's just so much. I could literally ramble all day.
Same. So the last question, though, how do you define success?
That is a good question. So success to me, it definitely correlates with your happiness. And it has nothing to do with numbers. It used to mean, for me, back then, it was about numbers, like with anything, whether how much money you had, how big your house was, you know, things like that. But for me, I realized in life that I'm like, almost like this, my family likes to call me like the hippie of the family. Success for me is just having the bare, like having what you need and kind of flourishing in that, you know, like I might not have the biggest house, but I have a family and other people may not have family. You know, I don't have the best car. I don't have a million subscribers. I don't have it all, but at the same time, I have it all. Success is just how happy your life is at any given moment, how happy and satisfied you are with what you have. If you can live a life where you literally just live in that present moment, you're successful. Like you really have this peace of mind. Peace of mind is a form of success to me. It really just has no definition, I guess. It's really just how happy you are in your life at that present time. Like that's all I want. I think what I mean is like success for me is me getting to a point where only today matters, you know?
Yeah. And that's good because I agree with you as well. It definitely is like success is like when you're the happiest.
Yeah. It's like, you know, what you overcame, you know, no one's like, oh my God, I'm so successful because I was really sad yesterday. It's just like, I was sad, but then I did this and you know, I was happy again. So it does, like your happiness does play a role in your success. Like if you had money, but you aren't happy, that's not really successful, you know? So yeah. I I think that's what it means to me. Actually, I've never even thought about like really what it means to me. So explaining it now, I'm like, wow, I guess I am successful because I am happy. and I you know, like I am grateful for all I have. That's
good. Oh my gosh. Wow. This has been definitely a very like impactful, I would say a very impactful episode, because this is episode 3.
Oh my goodness.
You're like the first like guest that people will hear on the podcast. So, wow.
Wow.
So much knowledge.
Wait, so what's episode 1 and 2?
Just me. Just talking.
I'm the first guest. Oh my gosh.
Yeah.
So excited.
Because like you were the first one that I reached out to that I knew I wanted on the podcast. Like, oh, I'll put Ocean at episode 3 and then, you know, the other ones down the line, of course, and then kind of get into it. And then, because I think it's like all where I wanted to do is like research on all of them, on everybody, and kind of pinpoint certain things that makes them, mm-hmm. but also kind of go deeper into that of what kind of really happens and like kind of understand what people don't get to see, you know?
I love that. No, like this has been so therapeutic. Okay. It has been so therapeutic because even just right now I needed, again, everything happens for a reason to me because I'm just so like, everything's a sign. And having this conversation today, it's more than just a podcast. It really, really was something I needed to just talk about, you know?
Yeah.
So yeah.
Definitely. I agree. So where can the listeners find you?
You can find me at youtube.com/OceanSims. You can also find me on Twitter, OceanSims_. And those are my main things. Just find me on YouTube. YouTube is my safe haven. So YouTube, Ocean Sims. Check me out.
Awesome. Well, thank you again for being on my podcast, talking with me, and just definitely just supplying just, or well, I don't know, but like just giving so much knowledge that you have had like over the years, and just being a mom, a wife, just a person in general, and just being you. So thank you.
Thank you for having me. I literally like, we had to do this again. That was fun. Well, this was fun. I mean,
yeah. Well, I will see you later.
See you later. Bye-bye. Bye.
So I hope you all enjoyed today's episode with Ocean Sims. I definitely did. I had a lot of fun just talking to her about content creation, imposter syndrome, the Sims community, the Sims in general, and being a mom, a wife, and a content creator all at the same time. But also kind of just playing catch up too, because we haven't really talked to each other in a very long time. And I think it's definitely a way where we can relate on a deep and personal level of how we're feeling, but also how we handle things in a new day and age of 2021. But we did say a few things towards the end of the episode that I did want to do a bit of a recap that I find very, very important for you all to listen, is that if you want to get into the creator space of making content on YouTube or any platform, whether it's for The Sims or any genre of content wise, is to focus on being your true and most authentic self. Because when you are yourself, that's when your true light really shines and allows you to resonate better with your audience, and they can relate to you, because everyone wants to see the real, honest moments of who you really are, how you make your content, because no one's perfect. No one wants the cookie cutter lifestyle of things, because that's not really real. But also consistency, because consistency is key, allowing you to post content when you are the most happiest. But also how we define success is when you are the most happiest in your life. And that really means a lot to the both of us, where we are somewhat similar in a way where we find success in when we are the most happiest, and we make content when we are the most happiest. Because when we're not happy, we can't really let our true light really shine of who we are as a content creator, but also as a person. Because we create our content based on our emotions, but also based on how we're feeling. And we want to make sure that our space of YouTube is a place where people can feel safe and relaxed and can definitely relate and resonate to it in any shape or form. But that's kind of the thing that I wanted to recap on you on. And I think it's definitely very important to definitely keep that in mind, that we are real people, but we also have personal lives that we like to keep private sometimes. But in all, that being said, I do hope you all definitely enjoyed today's episode as much as I did. And make sure you follow and subscribe to me on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, or wherever you listen to your podcasts. And I will hear from you all next week.